For 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. This is our On the House segment. We dive deep into one particular subject topic on your home, castle, or cabin. Allows us to spend the entire hour addressing some portion of your home. Throughout the course of the year, there should be 52 new parts of your home you know about if you tune into all 52 broadcasts. If you can't make all 52, we do have the podcast available 24/7 at RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And when you say we're digging into a particular topic, we really are.
We're digging in
today.
However we need to. We're
digging in and we're drilling down.
We have Bob Brown, founder of Arizona Foundation Solutions, in the studio with us talking about foundation problems, which generally speaking, not necessarily an install error, but more a soil.
Correct.
Error.
Yeah. Soil is a very complicated subject. Lots of things going on.
And what types of soil does Arizona have?
So Arizona has clays, sands, gravels, silts, kind of a loamy kind of thing. The thing that makes Arizona unique is we're quite a bit drier, obviously. We all know we live in a desert, right? That's the kind of the defining characteristic about Arizona that differentiates us from like Texas or Minnesota or New York.
And because of that lack of moisture, a lot of people build as if we never have any moisture.
Right.
And it's that inconsistency of moisture that creates the problems with heaving and settling.
Right. Well, so we'll be dry for a long time, and then we'll have a lot of monsoon rains, and now we're really, really wet for a very short period of time, right? And it's that variation that affects clays. They swell when they get wet. They shrink when they dry out. And so that variation causes a problem. And the fact that we're drier than other places creates a little bit different dynamic than with regular structures in wet climates. So if we've been dry here for millions of years, and all of a sudden we start accumulating moisture underneath slabs, if you're in Houston, that doesn't happen. It's already wet to begin with.
Especially now.
Right. Yeah, really wet there.
And, Bob, you operate statewide.
Yes.
Are there pockets of Arizona that are just have a reputation for notoriously being bad places?
Yeah, well, there are some places that are worse than others. And everything in foundation and soils is kind of relative. There's no absolutes, obviously. But there are worse soils in the Gilbert area, in the Anthem areas. And that's defined by the NCRS map, which talks about the upper 5 feet. That does not necessarily mean lower. So some parts, like on the west side of town, there was nothing identified on the NCRS map, but the developers came in and dug down 15, 20 feet, and now all of a sudden there's 5 feet right below the surface that was never identified on the NCRS map.
NCRS.
National Conservation Resource.
Okay.
System or
And what does survey. That map tell? What does that map generally tell you, the soil type you're going to encounter?
Yeah, we have a map of it on our Facebook, on our website page. And it goes in and divides the area by colors. You know, green is good, yellow is kind of caution, and red is like watch out. And that, again, that only maps the upper 5 feet.
Okay.
Something interesting that you were talking about is the farmlands and
right.
How long, you know, there's a system and a process that builders follow when they're developing over a farmland. And it addresses the first couple feet. And
right.
Something 20, 30 years later is where you see the problem starting to manifest.
Right. Well, so first of all, farmers like areas that have a lot of clay because it helps them retain the water when they water their plants. So generally, farm areas, a lot of them have a lot of clay for that reason. But what we found in kind of the Gilbert area is that those clays are down 15, 20 feet. They were wet for a very long time, a lot of farming. That now they're covered up, and 15, 20 years later, they're finally starting to dry out. And when they dry, they shrink a little bit, and so that causes some settlement problems.
And it takes that long for it to dry out that far down. They do a very good job retaining underneath the surface.
Right. Well, when you have a lot of soil on top of soil, there's really no good way for that water to get out quickly.
So what happens when this starts affecting our foundation? What do we see in our home?
So you're going to see cracks in your interior drywall. You'll see some maybe in stucco, but stucco cracks for a lot of reasons, including thermal, because it's exposed to the sun. But you'll see more reliable cracks in your drywall, particularly on your perimeter walls if it's footing movement. Floor cracks, doors and windows that are out of square and they don't really function very good. Maybe sloping floors, and other kinds of things you'll see drywall behaving in odd ways, cupping and those kinds of things. But generally, drywall is what people see first. It's the easiest to see.
Nail pops and cracks leading off the corners of your doors and windows and whatnot.
Yep.
Now, if a homeowner, I think a lot of homeowners would be really tempted when they see that to just turn a blind eye towards it and just ignore it.
Or caulk and walk, right?
Caulk and walk. I love that. Yes, okay. Caulk and walk. But talk about what the investigation is into assessing what the problem is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the industry for many, many years has been focused on the foundation repair industry grew out of the basement waterproofing industry. And that industry's mode of operation is typically send a sales guy out to diagnose it and draw up a repair plan and a contract all in one visit. And that probably works pretty good for basement waterproofing. But when you get into structural issues and soil issues that get very complex, it really needs to be done by a licensed professional engineer. Someone that doesn't have a conflict of interest, someone that is trained in schools on how to analyze things using data and not emotions, and someone who is going to really make data-driven recommendations.
And you actually have that engineer draw a topographic map of the floor level of the home.
Correct. Yeah, we actually have three engineers. And, yeah, they will supervise a team of assistants that go out and collect data and bring it back to them, and then they do the analysis and make the recommendations and approve the final repair plan.
And I think it's interesting in getting to know you and your repair business. We've known each other for a lot of years. Is your comment that we really have as many or more problems with heaving foundations?
Right.
But everybody just looks at the cracks in the foundation, the stem wall, the masonry, the drywall, and they just assume, I'm settling.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the reasons why it's important to not go out and make a rash, quick judgment about what we think is going on without a lot of careful analysis, because you can easily get it mixed up, and even with careful analysis, you can get it wrong. It's real hard to tell the difference between heave and settlement, super hard. I mean, if you're standing in a room looking at all the damage, it's almost impossible to do it just by standing there and looking at it.
Hmm. And it's very easy to make that shrinking assumption that it's settling.
Right.
Because how often do you think about the soils are strong enough to lift the structure of my home?
Right. People, they say, well, I know my house is settling because, look, it's sloping down towards the edge of the house. And it's like, well, that might be true, but it could be that the middle is going up. And people scratch their heads saying, how could that be? You know, well, it is. We have some soils on the west side of town with 28,000 PSI force heaving up.
Good night.
And the average concrete is poured less than 4,000 PSI.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, concrete doesn't stand a chance.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I guess I knew it was powerful just from the images I've seen of projects you've corrected, the projects I've walked on myself, but I had no idea it was that.
Yeah. I mean, I've had houses that have heaved 9-10 inches. I've talked to friends in Colorado where they've seen heave of upwards of 24 inches of heave.
Now, the good news with all of this is we've got systems and solutions to solve it. It takes that proper assessment to determine the cause. Once we've got the cause determined, there's a number of different things we can do to repair it. Because it's, unless there's a fissure opens up, you're probably not going to have major structural damage to your home that would cause it to collapse.
Right. That's a really good point, Romy. Quite often people get worried that their house is getting ready to fall down on them. And this is a common thing that people might hear from a foundation repair salesman. Hopefully it doesn't happen very often, but almost never is that the case. Most of the problems are what we call serviceability problems. And it's almost never, I mean, I've seen houses that are out of level 12 inches and still not be in danger of structural collapse. It's pretty hard to do that.
So there's ways that we can fix a heave. There's ways that we can fix a settle. There's a way that we can fix cracking foundations. And we're going to walk through all of those here at Rosie on the House as we go through our On the House hour here at our 10 o'clock hour. If you've got a foundation question or like to talk to Bob Brown about your home foundation, concrete, stem wall, if something looks awkward, out of whack, if you're hearing cracking, popping in the attic from settling, we can help you walk through all those different things to look for. 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Or if you need to snap a picture, if you've got a crack in your concrete, crack in the corner of a door or window, and you want to send it to us, is this normal? Is this abnormal? Is this too big? Should I be worried? You can send that to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
Don't get your windows replaced until you get an education and a quote from the experts at Pella Windows. So we've got Adam Homer in. Your fiberglass product, in my opinion, it's the right window for Arizona. Explain that a little bit.
Pella's got a patented process. They pultrude fiberglass through this die. It's a matted material. So unlike like the back of a shower enclosure, you know how it's random strands and
yes.
All pokey.
Right.
That's not what our windows look like. It looks like almost like a window screen mesh when it comes through and ready to put into the frame. And once it's all heat sealed and made rigid, it goes through a powder coating process. So you can get a really nice looking window that's very strong, very durable.
What matters is how you treat your doors and windows. They are the weakest link. Take the time to think through the right door and window.
Pella's two locations in Scottsdale and Tucson. Find them at rosieonthehouse.com under Certified Partners.